Hey, we're here tonight coming to you live. Live from the Radio Ranch this Thursday, July 16th. Sorry, we had a little late start. And I'll have to tell you why we had a late start. But we'll do that. And we got a special guest here in the Radio Ranch studio tonight joining us. Paul Shananiah from the church is up here with his new wife. And going to give him a little tour after we do the broadcast tonight. But again, we're coming to you live. We're glad to be here. And what a beautiful day we have here at the Radio Ranch. No rain today. Well, it's rained enough, though. We've had some mosquitoes come back. But again, a beautiful day here. And let me see if I got your mic on there. Paul, good evening, Paul.
Good evening, Richard. It's good to be here. And it's a gorgeous day, like you said. Beautiful weather. Had a great meal at your house. And your wife fixed a lovely meal. And our cup overflows with blessings.
Amen.
God still reigns, and Wyoming is wonderful.
Amen. Amen. And, well, we're going to open up with prayer, and then we'll, where we go from there, we'll see. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, and thank you, Lord, for the air we breathe and for the colors of everything that are out there, Lord. The blue sky and the white clouds and the green grass, Lord, and the black cattle, and just all the vibrant colors that you give us, Lord. We thank you so much that, oh, Father, things aren't just black and white and gray out there. We thank you for that. Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, who went to the cross willingly to redeem us, your people, to buy us back, and we thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here on the radio tonight, Lord, to follow in the footsteps, not to replace by any means, but to continue on, Lord, the work that was started as we continue to build on that foundation, mm-hmm. that foundation that is the rock, that is Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray that you would allow us to do that, allow us to continue to do that, Father, as we're about your business. And, Lord, we just pray you'd be with Paul and myself tonight, Lord, guide and direct our words and our mm-hmm. thoughts. And, Lord, let this broadcast be edifying to your saints. Let it be a blessing to them, Lord. Let it open a few eyes and unclog some ears as we read from your word. And Lord, we give you all the praise and glory for it. We pray all this in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
And again, we were a little late starting tonight. Just live right up the road. You'd think that, hey, we know what time we're supposed to be here. We've got till 5 after. The 5-minute prayer's on at the top of the hour. And you'd think we'd know to be here. And we were here in plenty of time. But, you know, you've heard the pastor, if you've listened for a while, the Radio Ranch is a working cattle and horse ranch, self-sustaining. And but we're down here on the Laramie River bottom. And we had a visitor today.
Yeah, it was rather...
Other than you.
You know what? We can't say the color of the bear, though, because it's racist.
It might be racist. We had a little, estimated about a 200-pound black bear show up at the ranch today. We have a tree that has bees in it, a honeycomb and bees and all that in it, just natural. And I guess he found it. And so we're out, and George is cutting grass all underneath it, and nobody noticed it today. The delivery driver was here, and we were out talking, and lo and behold, we looked, and there's a bear in the tree. And so, first time that we think that's happened. But anyway, so as we were driving back up to do the broadcast tonight, he was coming down the tree, and the dog's looking at him. He's looking at the dog on one side and us on the other, and so we tried to get him scared away. We talked to Game and Fish, and sure don't want to have to put him down if we don't have to, and don't want to. Unless we have to. But we got him down at least out of that tree and went over in the ranch house backyard and up another tree. So
jumped the fence.
Yeah, so he's nothing too big. No big grizzly or anything. Nothing like our brother Howard up in Alaska probably sees every now and then. But first time we've seen a bear here.
Well, so, as Pastor would say so many times, you never know what you're going to get.
That's right. That's right. That's like that 10-minute rule. You never know. So... but that's been pretty interesting here. So, well, we want to remind you to be reading your Bibles, Remnant. We've put out the 2015 Bible reading plan and the July plan is up at the website, scriptures4america.org. If you'd like to go there, you can click right on the home page. Just click on where it says Bible reading, and it'll give you that July Bible reading plan in a PDF format that'll print out in all color. And I've got mine here for the month, and somewhere here in my Bible, I've got my, I think I do have my full year. So I'm working between those. And if you're reading, and today being July 16th, Thursday, it's Proverbs 10, 11, and 12. And I've got a little bit of that highlighted in my Bible. Just finished up reading the Psalms. And, you know, Paul, that's been such an encouragement to me in reading through the Psalms. I read the Bible in its entirety when I first became a Christian 23 years ago. And but I've never read it completely through since then. I mean, not from start to finish. And so I'm getting quite a bit out of this. I really am, as we should.
Yeah, one of my favorite proverbs is back in chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. And that's a favorite scripture I committed to memory years ago. And it's keeping the focus on God. And trust is just not an intellectual assent to, I know that God can take care of things, but living with that promise that God has all of us covered as we do our best to obey Him, and do not rely on the insight of our own that comes from outside of the Word, and or on the advice of others. And God never fails. He's always there. And
Amen.
That's one of those anchors that I hang on to when times get rough.
Amen. And you know, this, you mentioned this being an anchor, and that's truly what the Word is. It's somebody had described it at one time as an anchor for our soul. I forget who, but I know I've heard that. And it truly is. It you know, Christ is described as our stronghold, as our fortress. And you know, one fact we have to face that most people don't want to. But you can read it here back in Psalms 147, and here in Psalms 147 verses 19 and 20, he says, "He declares His words to Jacob, His statutes and His ordinances to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation. And as for His ordinances, they have not known them. Praise the Lord." And we have to remember that this word, this Bible, it's given to Jacob and to Israel. And so, you know, to me, that means that the sheep, those are the sheep of His pasture. When Christ said, "My sheep hear My voice," His sheep are going to be of Jacob. His sheep are going to be of Israel, because that's who this word was given to. And of course, that's who Christ came to. And His statutes and His ordinances were not given to everybody. And that is such a different way of looking at it. It's an important truth. If you're in the military, military law applies to you. Well, I'm not in the military, so military law doesn't apply to me. To me, it's just like what we read here. His words were given to Jacob, His statutes and His ordinances to Israel. And we are the ones that this word was given to. We are the ones that have Jesus Christ as our anchor, the term you used, Paul. We are the ones that are comforted when we obey Him and we follow Him. Now, that doesn't take anything away from anybody else in the world, from any other race, any other nationality, because the Bible addresses that. It addresses, what if you have the foreigner or the alien in your land? Well, you have one law. You don't have a law for them and a law for you. You have one law. And we're told to, all throughout here, to be kind to the stranger, to be kind to the alien. because we were aliens and sojourners in our history. It was encouraging to me to read this here as we finished up Psalms this past week. Actually, I guess, yeah, just in the last 7 days anyway, that he declares his words to Jacob. And so it's a great responsibility that we have, you know, to be the people that he's given his word to. He goes all the way back to that covenant with Abram and Abraham, that through him, you know, God told Abraham, he said, through your descendants, the whole world will be blessed. And so, you know, that's a responsibility that we have, that we have to read our history. We have to go through this word and see how we're supposed to live, what we're supposed to do, what we're not supposed to do. And when we do that, we're blessed by God, and through that, we can then be a blessing to the world. Not really what the Bible reading plan is today, Proverbs 10 through 12, but we've gotten to that point, and I really think Proverbs 10 is applicable for today, because the subheading of it is the contrast of the righteous and the wicked. And, you know, we are seeing that contrast more and more and more today. We truly are. You know, Proverbs 10:6 tells us, blessings are on the head of the righteous. And it doesn't say blessings are on the head of everybody. It doesn't say do whatever you want to do and God's going to bless you. It doesn't say think whatever you want to think, say whatever you want to think. It's on those that are righteous.
And our righteousness comes from God, and it's yes. given to us as we follow his word. And as we talked about in Branson, hear and obey. It's one thing to hear the word, but it's another thing to obey it from the heart. And in your one of your notes that I saw earlier was love the sinner, not the sin, or hate the sin but love the sinner. It's not in the Bible. I mean, the world puts things in there that it wants to use, and then it deletes things that are like, you know, the homosexual is not going to make it. And, well, we're supposed to love the sinner but hate the sin. I mean, it gets pretty wrapped up around the axle, and things get rather complicated, and then the spinning of what they think God really means takes over, and then it just goes into the ditch, and people are lost because they don't want to hear the truth.
Yes.
And it's tough sometimes. And you know, the pastor said many times, you get bucked out of the saddle, you get back on. And we're soldiers of Christ, and we're in a battle for life and death. So we take the Bible seriously, and when we follow it, it brings joy. And blessing comes. And while all others may suffer, we may suffer at times, but overall God will bless us for doing what is right and adhering to the word.
Absolutely. That's why it's so important to read the Bible. You know, there's not going to be an excuse on Judgment Day why you don't know. Oh, well, I didn't know. I didn't hear. That's not going to work. You know,
or
it might work in college. Well, I didn't know that the assignment was due today. Okay, turn it in tomorrow. That might work now, but it's not going to work then. And again, that's why we've stressed so much to you, the remnant, and to all the listeners out there, to read your Bible. Read your Bible. Because in Matthew 7, starting in verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. And it's truly as simple as that. That's how the word works. This word was given to Jacob, it was given to Israel, and it was given to us, their descendants. And when Jesus Christ came, that's what he said. He said, ask, and it'll be given to you. Now, I believe that. I believe it. I've seen it. I've lived it. Mm-hmm. I have seen this come to pass. And then it says, seek, and you will find. And I've seen that come to pass. I've seen that happen. I've lived that. I've sought and found. I've seen others do the same thing. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And that is one of the characters of God. And it's truly as simple as that. Now, there's certainly some application there. Pastor used to talk a little bit about the man that would complain to God and say, "Well, you know, God, I've been asking to win that lottery for 20 years and I hadn't won it yet." And God says, "Well, you know, if you bought a lottery ticket, it might help." You know, and so there's other things there, but for the Christian, for the repentant, baptized, turning away from sin, you know, obedient Christian, this works. It applies. But what happens is people don't ask.
Well, they ask and don't believe.
They ask and don't
believe.
They're
not worthy.
Or they don't seek.
Keep on seeking.
Yeah, we are to keep on seeking. And many times, I forget how many, I looked it up one time, I don't remember how many times, but the Bible many times says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know, his timing and our timing are different. Several years ago, we're running all the cattle here. Not that it's a lot, but we're running them all on the ranch this year. But Paul, a few years ago, we ran some up out Highway 130 out towards Centennial. And we had the little herd, about 35 out there. And it was time to gather them in. So we loaded the horses up and we drove out there, and Pastor waited at the truck with us, and myself and Kyle and I think Jason, and there were three or four of us, but we were horseback, and we had to ride about 2 miles up through the pastures to where the cattle were. And so you get everything saddled up and you get on the horses, and so you don't run the horses for 2 miles. You walk the horses. And that's the pace. That's the timing. And, you know, at first you're like, because we are in a hectic, fast-paced world. Let's go. I'm ready to go. I need it now, right? I want my... Went to Chick-fil-A the other day. They have an app you can order on your phone, and they'll have it ready when you get there.
Oh, my gosh.
Because, and they have the fastest line ever. They've got 12 people taking your order. But that's not fast enough. And so... I mention that because they're on that horseback, and I've been blessed to be able to ride with our neighbor up here, another neighbor, Paul, that's a cowboy, and on horseback is a different pace. It's a different, it's a slower pace, and it resonates.
It didn't
take long, and I can remember making the comments. Cars are whizzing by. We're out there in our coats and our hats, and people are waving, you know, as they drive by at 70 miles an hour. And
look, there's a real cowboy.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what it looked
here
like.
Here he goes.
It's what it looked like anyway. But that was a much better pace. And you know, there's times that we get ahead of ourselves. Well, Lord, I've asked. I need it. You know, Lord, give it to me right now. I need it right now. Oh, he didn't give it to me. Oh, okay, well, Lord doesn't answer me. And that's not, you know, I mean, this book covers what? 2,000 years of history? 3,000? 4,000 years?
Yeah.
This Bible? And it's just been a couple thousand since the end of this here. So from the beginning of this Bible to now is, what, 6,000 years maybe? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there. It doesn't mean that anything you ask for, it's like when Christ told the sons of thunder about calling down fire. You know, there's some things that God doesn't intend to happen, and it's not that the error is on his part. It's always on ours. Whether it's timing, whether it's asking and not believing that it's going to happen, whether it's not seeking. Or if it's not knocking, you know, if we hadn't seen you drive up at the house and you'd have walked up to the house and the dogs weren't barking and never knocked on the door.
Yeah.
Well, why
there.
Open the door?
Yeah.
You don't know if anybody is there unless they knock. And that's what that's the example he gives us. But, you know, these are there for us, for the Christian. If you ask, and, you know, you kind of have to, I don't want to say you have to start small, but you have to start somewhere. You know, and one of the things that, well, that sure worked for me is I asked for truth. You know, I had a lot of questions.
Is this why you were back to living in Florida, or
yeah,
you were in FedEx?
Yeah, we were in Florida. And, you know, I had a lot of questions. But we asked. And it wasn't like, you know, here's the encyclopedia, boom, all of a sudden you have all the answers. But as we started reading through this Bible the first time, from this Anglo-Israel perspective, of who Jacob is, who Israel are, that we just read, that the word is given to, and understanding that there's a premise in the Bible of by their fruits you shall know them. I think Christ taught on that, talking about thorns and thistles, and it's by their fruits. And so when you look at, you know, what people have shown the fruit since this Bible was written of having these promises come to them, of hearing his voice, of fulfilling to the amount that it's been fulfilled, the Great Commission. And there's been a people that have done that. And that's who that word was given to. That's who Jacob and Israel are. Didn't have any notes on this tonight, Paul. My apologies.
This is kind of where
we ended up, where we ended up going, you know, from,
and, you know, while we're thinking about this,
from Proverbs and Psalms there.
Well, it's the application of the word, and it's a collection of inspired writings, but until it's read and understood beyond the mind into the heart, and it starts changing things and changing an outlook or changing the way I would approach life. It's God's running the show, and there's several things that are kind of coming up. But anyway, would you want to give out the phone number for those that might want
to
call in?
That.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Sure, sure. We do have the phone lines open tonight, and the buttons are pushed. Let me make sure. 307-745-5913, if you do want to call in. And, you know, I think one verse that we kind of have key verses that – we memorize that, like you mentioned the one earlier, and, you know, whether it's Acts 2:38 or 2 Chronicles 7:14 or Hosea 4:6, one that I'm seeing that's coming up more and more is Mark 8:38. And let me just read it here. It says, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory, when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And, you know, I think most Christians would agree that Jesus is coming back. Wouldn't you think? I mean, Judeo-Christians he's coming back. I think most would agree with that. But that's probably where the agreement ends, because when he comes back, this describes that. You know, when he comes back. And so, you know, maybe that'll help us all in sharing the gospel, is if we have those that they agree, that maybe our friends agree that, yeah, Jesus is coming back. Well, Mark 8:38 says, when he comes back, is he going to be ashamed of you? Is he going to be ashamed of me? And if I'm ashamed of his word today, then when he comes back, he is going to be ashamed of me. And, you know, we have to have that life application of the word that you were talking about, Paul. We have to apply this. This Bible is not just to sit on the shelf. It is a living word. It is what we're supposed to have to guide and direct us. And, you know, as a people, we had that once in this nation, and we've fallen away from that. We have absolutely fallen away from that. You know, and over here in Mark 7, at the beginning of Mark chapter 7, Christ talks about, he says, you know, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrines the precepts of men. Love the sinner and hate the sin. Mm-hmm. That's a doctrine of man. That's a doctrine of man.
Well, one of the things that I saw a pastor do, and it's a it wasn't second nature, it was first nature, because he's so immersed in the Word. But he'd pray about anything and everything in the moment, just say a quick prayer and do it. And then I'll give a real life example of that in just a minute. In Ephesians 6, and putting on the full armor of God, it kind of concludes, is pray at all times in the Spirit. Keep alert with all perseverance. And there's the story of the oil and the lamps, and you've got to be persevering. Jesus is coming, and it's dread to those. There will be no atheist in that moment. They will all believe, and even the demons believe. But what makes the difference is, are you obeying the Word and praying about everything at all times with perseverance, and stay alert? And we talked about being soldiers of Christ, and we're in training to fight a battle with weapons not of this world, and with our lives, and speaking up when somebody says something against Jesus, and say, if they can be offended about being gay, I'm offended that you would put down my Lord.
And I
object.
Right, and we're told in the Bible how to do that, to have a little salt in our speech.
We talked about that, being salty.
Right, and to be able, the Lord's bondservant must be able to teach and must be patient and persevere and do those things, because, the people have been lied to. They believe, so many of our people believe the doctrines of men are the precepts of God.
Have replaced with right. erosion over the decades yeah. or the centuries.
And so many of our people just don't know. They haven't been taught. I remember Pastor taught years ago, he mentioned we had a young lady that was working out here at the ranch, and she got a boyfriend, and so he came out, and the pastor sat down and was talking to him about sin and repentance and salvation, and deer in the headlights.
Never heard of
the young man. Yeah, because, he'd say that, repentance, what? He didn't understand the terminology. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what it meant. And so many of our people, whether they've wanted to or not, they're like that. They don't understand. And we have to teach them.
Well, it's lived, it's taught. What does it say on that one of the sayings there at church? Sermon is best lived, not taught.
Yeah, pastor's got a placard of that. A Christian woman in Florida sent that to him. The best sermons are lived, not taught.
Preached or not taught preached or something like that.
Yeah.
But it is self-evident when someone who is connected with Christ enters a room, there's a different energy. And likewise, there are different energies when someone comes in, it's dark.
Yeah, a different spirit.
A different spirit and those energies and stuff like that. And, I pray on the armor, but it's like there's a background. The Holy Spirit and our angels are watching over us. And all of a sudden, my shields go up. And I look around and I notice somebody has come in that's dark. And the Spirit is always guiding me or us to safety. If we need to leave, we need to leave. If we need to speak up, God will give us the words and the wisdom what to say and how to say it.
Amen.
But this praying at all times, Joan and I were working on something, and we'd just gotten through praying and trying to coordinate a reception, and the phone rang instantly with your aunt. She called, and we just chuckled that God answers prayer, and sometimes it's really fast, and sometimes it's no. But
yeah.
our job is to remain faithful, that God's going to take care of that. Let me go about doing what's before me with joy and rejoicing and with certainty that God has us covered now.
Amen.
What have we got to worry about? Jesus came out of the grave, and we're worried about who's going to be president? It does matter, but it's number one is we keep Jesus front and center, and he will always guide us to truth and to power and certainty and safety and all the blessings that are contained in God's Word.
Amen. Amen. Well, hey, let's try this caller. Hey, good evening, caller. Welcome to 7 times 70.
Yeah, good evening, man. This is Joe.
Good evening, Joe.
Yeah, praise God. Good to hear you guys on tonight.
Well, thanks. Thanks for tuning in.
I have something that's really, it really is not germane to what your guys are talking about, but I like to relate it anyway. It has to do with the Word and study and things. Recently was, I forget how it came about, but it came to me that the and I don't watch movies. I don't go to movies at all, not anymore. But this, for the last couple of years now, I've been hearing this phrase, a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, that's real big out there. It's
I have no idea what that refers to.
Well, Joe, we don't have time to really explain it tonight either. Tell you that it's a generation thing. It's a generation thing. It ties in with the younger generation with their video games and movies now. I guess I could sum it up as it's their version. Of the end of times. Because they're the ones that are destroyed. They're the ones that die. They're the ones that, that don't have everlasting life. And
right.
So their future is pretty bleak. But ours is brighter than the sun.
Now, I did a little bit of word study here. It took me about a half an hour to do it. And the word apocalypse appears nowhere in the Bible. However, the Greek word apocalypsis means revelation, and that refers, of course, to the book of Revelation.
Sure.
Now, the zombie word, it refers to an old black African concept of a serpent god, and it's been morphed into something probably related to the Creole and back along, the Caribbean culture there, the black African culture that moved up in there. It became known, it became related to the undead.
Right.
And that's how we got it,
right,
through our black African in mixture of our cultures. So I did the word study, and I found out that the zombie apocalypse simply means serpent god revelation. And this is like it might even be considered a subliminal message to our youth.
Well, Joe, some of the things that I think of, there's that aspect you're talking about, but so many people, even though they say they're alert and awake, have been zombified, or they're in a zombie state, they literally fall off a curb because they're staring at their phone while they're walking, and they're out of the loop.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yep.
And they're becoming more and more isolated because of this technology, and they lose the ability to relate to people, so they're the walking dead or undead or whatever they call it. They are zombie, and their minds have been taken over, which I guess is the definition of becoming a zombie, is they're taken over, and they're not aware of what's going on with their lives. And so many folks are that way today.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
Isaiah 52 addresses it, I think, Joe. Awake, awake, is what it tells us. And
yeah.
It's for true Zion. It's for his people today. Wake up, because you are in a stupor. And then in verse 3 it says, thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you will be redeemed without money. And it's like, you were put to sleep. You were knocked out. You've been put under this spell. You were sold. But, thankfully, we have that redemption. That word that was given to Jacob and Israel, we have been redeemed. We have been bought back. That blood has bought us back. The others... and you know, they're not. But that's why we continue to do what we do. That's why we continue to broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Uh-huh.
The truth is to put the truth out. You know, that was what it was. Was Isaiah's job. That's what was given to Isaiah. You know, God says, hey, I need somebody
Pastor
to preach
Peter
these people.
That, now, he had that message.
Yeah, most of them aren't going to listen to you. You're going to be hated. You're going to be lied about. You're going to be attacked. But do it anyway, because I got one over there that needs to hear it, and I've got two over in this city that need to hear it, and the remnant, my sheep, hear my voice. Mm-hmm. And that truth resonates, right frequency, however we put it. But the sheep know the master's voice. They know his truth. They know his word when they hear it. Now, if they wake up to it, that's the key. You know, and that's where we pray for our friends. We pray for our family. We pray for the remnant to have, that their ears would be opened, that their hearts would be softened to, you know, to see this here. You know, Matthew 7, we've been reading in there, you know, Matthew 7, 12, in everything, therefore. Now, that means just on Sunday morning is how that, what that means. Where it says, in everything, therefore, that means on Sunday morning at church for 2 hours. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. This is the law in everything. And no, it's not just on Sunday morning. Treat people the same way you want them to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
And another place in it says that, and you will fulfill the law of Christ. The zombies don't get it. Those that haven't awakened yet, as Isaiah says, awake, awake. You have to wake up to understand that, to be able to see and read that.
Well, you'll see their eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
And even
that's something that I've seen.
Yeah, there's an energy that moves over.
They sort of like get up and walk out.
Right.
They can't. It's an electrical, like a short circuit there that happens.
That's a good description.
But you plant the seed. You know, that's
Absolutely.
What Christ did. Christ didn't cram anything down anybody's throat. Now, he beat them out of the temple one time. But, you know, here is the truth. You know, and take it or leave it. You know, take it or leave it. Here it is. I'm planting the seed. Here it is. But I can't stand here and cram it down your throat because I have more seeds to plant. There's more people out there. You've heard it. Now, what you do with it, that's between you and God. It truly is. But remember, Christian, you might agree, Jesus is coming back. You need to know what it's going to be like when he comes back. You know, the first time he came as a babe in a manger, born of a virgin. God come down to earth, Emmanuel, in the flesh, to save us from our sins. And he did that. He doesn't have to do that anymore. And when he comes back again, the Bible tells how it's going to be. That he's going to be riding a white horse. That he's going to be carrying a flame of a flaming sword. Mm-hmm. And that he's coming to rule and reign with a rod of iron.
And his sword will be coming out of his mouth,
which is
sword
the word.
Spirit,
word.
Which is the word of
the
God.
Word. Exactly. You know, you mentioned that, Joe, and there at the end of Psalms again, because I just finished. I had to go back and finish up the last little bit of Psalms. And Psalms 149, the second part of it, let's see where it is. Yeah, it says, Psalms 149, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the godly ones. I think singing's important.
Mm-hmm.
And then verse 5, let the godly ones exult in glory, let them sing for joy on their beds, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And so when I picture that, I picture the, you know, Hosanna in the highest, praising, you know, arms outstretched and singing the new song, praising him on the lyre and the harp and all that we've read in the Psalms that we just finished. But then you keep reading. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written the judgment written. This is an honor for all his godly ones. Praise the Lord. Now, I ain't making that up, folks. That's right there in Psalms 149.
And they just leave all that stuff out.
Yeah, to execute on them the judgment written. Guess where it's written? In that book of Revelation.
Well, didn't you just read where there was Episcopalians just passed the thing to say they're going to allow gays and stuff?
Yeah, they're embracing the gay
community. And that's not in the Word. And then what are they going to say to God? Well, we rewrote your Word, or we thought it would be best.
They agreed.
Depart from me, you evildoers. I never knew you.
Yep.
It's not going to be a pretty sight.
No. Well, Joe, we're going to take this other caller. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, thanks for calling,
that.
Joe.
All right, man.
Keep reading
and
studying.
All right, thank you. We'll take this other caller. Hey, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Richard. Good evening, Paul. Tom
evening.
In Texas.
Hey, Tom.
I was just listening to Joe's to chime in on the terminology zombie apocalypse. I mean, I don't imagine it was Christians that come up with that.
No.
Word thing or nothing, as we'd know better than we wouldn't be calling it that. I mean, the Pharisees heard about Jesus talk about his resurrection, but well before he was crucified.
And they believed him.
Yeah, they believed
they
him.
They believed him.
To them, he was a zombie.
Yeah.
Per se, the living dead, the resurrected.
And even
biblical prophecies about the same resurrection occurring, you know, at some time in our, perhaps our immediate time frame.
Yeah.
That a resurrection. Or look at Revelation chapter 11 and the resurrection of the two witnesses and the horror of those that, you know, beheld them stand upon their feet after they have been resurrected. Zombie apocalypse to them? Or to those of us that are awake to what is going on, are we not? You know, this as much as they're zombies, like, as in brain dead, spiritually dead, you know, dumb.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they are, Hollywood and our enemies, they get nothing, I think they get nothing of themselves. It's just they believe the Word. And they get their movie ideas, their book ideas, they get all of that from the Word. They just take one little bit.
Or other talk.
Yeah, they get it and they twist it.
They give it some mal caricature such as that.
And turn it
other darker around. Meanings I've heard of, I mean, I've been told that a lot of psychotropic drugs are made, synthesized off the brain chemistries of cadavers. Well, when you introduce brain chemistry, the chemistry of the dead into the living, you actually create a living dead, and where people that, you know, follow this, you know, witchcraft, sorcery, you know, thing that, you know, toad skin and dragon's foot and all this, you know, it's not called that.
Yeah.
It might be called Prozac or something like that, you know, given names like that. But when they're given, you know, people are administered drugs like that, their symptoms become worse. And they actually, you know, do want to, you know, if they have suicidal tendencies, they more want to commit suicide, even homicide. Because they're already, you know, their brain is telling that chemistry in their body, their brain's telling them they're dead, but they're still, you know, their body's still living. And it, thus creating, well, a conflict of, you know, that's, you know, if you're gonna supplicate your sorrows, your angst, and your sighing and groaning to a false prophet, you know, phony shaman such as a head shrinker, psychiatrist, you call upon the wrong counselor.
Well, so many times Satan would quote scripture, and he would say this, and then if you are the Son of God, you can cast yourself down, and then Jesus came back. It is written.
Yeah, tempted him to commit suicide.
Right out of the garden, God didn't really say that.
Yeah.
So that's
everything
what they're
doing. That you could buy is codified in those three things, three areas that Jesus was tempted in, that anyone could be tempted in. Go kill yourself, or bow down and worship me.
Yeah.
Or how, okay,
steal,
you're, you
kill,
think
and
you're
destroy.
An American worker, do this.
Yep.
You know, got such great faith, do this. You know, if you can,
Well, Tom, we saw in the news this, I don't know if it was today or yesterday, but, you know, you've been in our prayers and always are. You're in a dangerous profession, but I saw that a Texas correctional officer lost his life.
Really? I need to look that one up.
Yeah, it was. I just saw it in either today or yesterday's news, and, you know, they don't put a lot of that out. You know, that doesn't get the kind of play that, you know, what Oprah's eating for breakfast.
You'd be interested. So you got a link. I'll search for it, definitely.
Yeah, I think somebody sent me a link. It was off Fox News or whatever. So, well, we're wrapping this up, Tom. Sure, good to hear from you. Glad you're doing well. And
God bless you all. And thank you all for your prayers and support.
Keep the faith, brother. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Got a text from our brother Howard early in the program. He is up there where they have bears.
He's got a bear story.
He says, bears will eat you, as my wife tells me. So, amen to that. Of course, this one here is just a little fella, just a little black bear. I don't know if he'd go 200 pounds quite, but he looked a lot smaller down than he did up in that tree stretching
out. He was
out.
Bawling, though.
He was. He wasn't happy. So, and, yeah. Well, God is good. And, You can't go wrong reading in His Word. And if you ask for understanding, you may read something in His Word and say, well, you know, Lord, it says to love my enemy and pray for my enemy. I don't understand that. Well, ask God about it. Pray about it. And, you know, do like Joe said, you can do a word search. We carry, I don't think I've got them back here, we carry the concordance. It's called the Strongest, and it's the word-by-word list of every word in the Bible. It'll give you the meaning of it, everywhere you find it in the Bible. And so, if you ask, you can get revelation from God. He may direct you to, you know, some reference material like that. But if you ask, you will get an answer. Now, you may not like the answer. The answer may not be what you wanted to hear, but, you know, that's irrelevant. But if you ask, you'll get it. If you seek, you'll find. And in this, as we read in Mark 8:38, you know, we are in a sinful and adulterous time. We are in the time that the Bible talks about where good is called evil.
They're doing it today.
Where adhering to God's word, we're preaching His word, we're reading His word in public, is called evil. And evil, sin, transgression of His law, abominations to God, things that have been sin since this word was written, since before this word was written, things that have been, that are an abomination in nature and that are an abomination in the eyes of God and should be an abomination in our eyes, they are the norm today. They are what is accepted. And if you think the Supreme Court in approving homosexual marriage, if you think that's the end, oh no, people, that's the beginning. That's the very beginning, because pedophilia is next on the list.
They're coming.
And, you know, I start getting worked up and my blood pressure starts going up and I start reaching for my gun and, you know, and I start getting upset and I have to again read my word.
Yep. I'll
wait
get
on me.
Up.
Wait on me, says the Lord. And you read through these Psalms and oh, how I have loved these Psalms, because David had that. Lord, they're around me. You know, they come at me from all sides. Lord, they're destroying me. Have you forgotten me, Lord? I'm here. Have you forgotten me? But then the next word is what? No, Lord, you haven't. And I know that I'm walking in your way, and you will direct me and protect me, and the evil will be destroyed. And, you know, Psalms 139:21, do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? That is a Christian, that is a long-forgotten Christian aspect that's going to come back. It's going to come back. Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Those are the words of David, a type of Christ. But we have to be ready for this. We have to be prepared. And the way that we are is we do what this word tells us. This word was given to us. It might have not have been given to your neighbor over there, but it's given to you. And when it is, you have to do what it says. We have to apply it, have that application, not just read it, not just have it in the house, but apply it. You know, in the days of the first Passover, if all they would have done was slaughter the lamb and kept the blood in the bucket they had it in and not applied it.
Yep.
Oh, I got it. I got the blood right here. I got the blood right here. I got the Bible right here. Here it is. Or I go to church every Sunday. Here I go. But if it's not applied, that blood had to be applied to the door.
That's a great example.
In the lintel and the doorpost for that angel to not come in and kill the firstborn. It had to be applied. And if this word is not applied today, then it you're not going to get the salvation.
You're not going to get a do-over, and you're not going to get the excuses given that, well, Lord, I was going to get to it one day, and you know, I'm going to get around to it. It's like, and I've heard this is so cool. God has his remnant. There are people out there that are probably Christians, baptized Christians, that have radio shows, and they're talking about all these things are going on in the world, and there are challenges and stuff, but the number one thing for you to do as a Christian is get your life right with Jesus. We're all going to leave the planet one day. Get your life right with Jesus. And if those of you listening out there don't have the word, contact the ranch. Something can be sent to you, how to become a Christian.
Absolutely.
There are tools and stuff to get you started. Don't wait any longer. It's coming.
Amen.
And we can live with joy and certainty in the midst of this turmoil. And that's the one thing that I really have to let go of is not get caught up in the craziness of the world and settle down, take good care of myself, pray, read the word, reconnect, and be that soldier of Christ. And be aware, keep alert, persevere, keep the faith. Keep the faith.
Amen. Well, Paul, we're out of time. There went that hour. Whew, that was quick. Well, folks, we thank you for tuning in and joining us tonight.
Yes.
Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We encourage you to come back tomorrow night. Jason will be here, same bat time, same bat channel, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. on the East Coast on Friday night for Gideon's Armory. I'll be tuning in with my iPhone. And then join us all Saturday morning, same time but on the AM side, Saturday morning for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
God bless.
A lot. Thank you, Paul.